Well, this is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It's technically unpredictably great, but we'll let y'all be the judge of that. We're just going to start out by talking about free agency and the last couple moves there were today and yesterday, and some pretty major ones going on throughout the league. It's been one of the most exciting off seasons I've ever experienced as a football fan, so I'm pumped about it. And we're just going to dive in here, and the first one we're going to get to is the biggest news of the whole free agency, I think, is it's Odell Beckham Jr. getting traded to the Browns.
Oh, man.
The
Sorry, say it again. You cut out a little bit.
The Giants gave up a first, a third, and Jabril Peppers. And I don't think that's enough personally, but I just want to get your all thoughts on this trade and how excited it got you.
Will, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll jump right into it. I don't think it was enough either. I mean, when you say first-round pick, you got to remember that was the 17th pick. Well, I mean, what are they really going to get with the pick? I thought it was a good move for the Browns. They look to be an explosive team with Landry beside him, old college teammate, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt when he comes off suspension, and a young Baker Mayfield. Plus, he doesn't play with Eli anymore, so that's always a plus.
Right. No doubt.
I without a doubt. Is that all, Will? Do you have more?
Yep. Go for it.
I without a doubt think it's a great trade as far as the I think the Browns definitely won that trade, basically what I'm trying to say. But I'm going to be the bearer of bad news. I think it's a great trade, but I don't think that the Browns are going to be as good as what everybody thinks they're going to be next year. I've heard talks that they're projected to make it to the Super Bowl, win the division, so on and so forth. And I've been thinking about it all day, and I'm not jumping ship at all. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I don't think that they're even going to make it to play. I don't think they're going to make it to a wild card. I don't think they're going to win a division. Here's my predictions for the Browns next year. So I think they'll do well. I think that their success is going to be flashy. There's going to be plenty of highlight film at the end of the year. But I think that they will, like I said, not make it into the playoffs. I think they'll go above 500. So here's the reasons why I believe that the Browns are sort of overrated at this point. Number one, I think there's too many divas on that team. Odell Beckham Jr. itself could run a diva show alone, one person. His hair's ridiculous. Wow. His hair's ridiculous. I'm serious. I'm so sick and tired of this guy. I've never been a big Odell Beckham Jr. fan. I think he's a great talent, but I think that he's your stereotypical diva, attention whore, wide receiver that we've seen all so many times in the NFL. And I think that whenever you mix him, you mix Jarvis Landry, who's, you know, not so much of a diva, but kind of a diva, and will probably increase his popularity and increase the size of his brain or size of his head when Odell Beckham Jr. gets there. You take them two, and then you put Baker Mayfield, who already talks too much as a rookie quarterback. The guy's always in the media all the time, staring down head coaches. This guy's a rookie. Yeah, he did pretty good, but I think that you put those three together and you got a freaking bona fide shit show. Not to mention Freddie Kitchens. It's his first year with the Browns, and I don't think that he's going to be able to turn that program around quick enough. I think that in order to experience success in the playoffs and to have an ultimately really successful season, it takes more than 1 year with a head coach. I think he's going to need a few years in the program so that way he can implement all of his stuff. And my third reason here is it's just the Cleveland Browns, and I refuse to believe that regardless of how much talent is on that team that they're going to be Super Bowl contenders. I refuse to believe it.
All right, Will, do you want to just destroy his complete argument there, or do you want me to start?
Just a couple comments. I mean, I don't think they'll be Super Bowl contenders. I honestly don't believe they'll be in the AFC Championship game. I do think they're a playoff team. Yes, their team is going to be a theater. There are a lot of head cases on that team, but you can't dismiss the talent on that team. I mean, Odell going to Cleveland. I'm just going to read off some stats. 2014, 91 receptions, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. 2015, 96 receptions, 1,400 yards, 13 touchdowns. Woo! 2016, 101 receptions, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns. And then last year, only played 12 games, 77 receptions, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. You add that type of talent to a team, you automatically get a lot better.
I agree. He's a great talent. But I'll let you go ahead and speak your part, Derek, and then I have one more pushback. One other thing that I want to say, but go ahead, Derek.
All right. I completely disagree with you. I'm sorry, but it's not just this addition. I think they ramped up their defense as well. They just got Sheldon Richardson from the Vikings, who's a big defensive tackle who's going to stop the run, and they got Myles Garrett there. They just got Olivier Vernon from the Giants as well. They're going to have a nice defensive line. They're going to be able to rush the passer, stop the run at the same time. They already got Denzel Ward back there. They're coming together all together. And just to add OBJ, who's had all that talent and all those seasons with a trash quarterback. I mean, the only reason he was being a diva is because the quarterback couldn't throw him the damn ball. Like, I would be mad too if I was the best player in the damn game and I couldn't get the ball because my quarterback sucked. Like, I think that addition is going to take them over the top.
Just jumping into your point, I mean, I completely agree with him. You can't, I mean, you also can't dismiss the fact that they won 5 out of the last 7 games last year. Exactly. I mean, that's momentum, along with adding all that talent on the defensive side. And also adding Odell, I mean, that's big time.
And you know who they won those games with is Freddie.
Yeah.
He took over and they took off. Like, he's already implemented his offense, his style. He knows what he wants to run.
Plus, I mean, all their talent's young, too. So I think they're going to be a team to look out for in years to come as well.
It's not just this season. They have a couple year window there until Baker can get out of his rookie contract. That's when they're going to have to start worrying, just like every other team. But
yeah,
right. They realize right now is their window. They got to go all out and go for it.
Completely agree.
I mean, I'm not sure they'll be a Super Bowl contender or anything, but I definitely do think they'll make a push into the playoffs. And I really do think they'll make that the AFC championship game. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a toss-up. I don't know who else will be in there with them, but they're definitely going to be really competitive.
Is that a question? Who else is going to be in there with them?
Yeah, for me it is. For me it is. He's got to come down at some point.
I had to throw that in.
Oh, I was out of what you guys are saying. I think that there's definitely no shortage of talent on the Cleveland Browns. They've made a lot of really, really good moves. But there's one point that I want to make here in regards to them, and that's that I don't really think that talent on a team necessarily wins Super Bowls or wins playoff games anymore. Yes, yes, talent is a huge part of it, but Willie – or I'm sorry, owner of the – I'm just going to call you Willie, fuck it. But yeah. Willie, if anything, you could attest to this being a Patriots fan, and it's more so the coaching and just the overall offensive scheme and the program. It's a whole 360 view of a successful football team that goes into winning playoff games and winning at such a high level to make it to the Super Bowl, and then even going on to win the Super Bowl. If you look at the Patriots team last year, they didn't have a whole lot of talent. I mean, they're tight end. Rob Gronkowski was completely obsolete. They had a rookie running back. They didn't really have a whole lot of people out there to help them at the wideout position besides, of course, Edelman. They've had it running with Josh Gordon, so on and so forth. But one thing that stayed consistent in that team, and that's the coaching. And that's the fact that they are – all those players are operating under the most successful offensive scheme – coaching scheme, whatever you want to call it, and arguably in the history of NFL football. And that alone is why I think that just because the Browns have all this talent doesn't mean that they're going to be really successful. You can look across the NFL and see a lot of talent on a lot of teams. The Chiefs, for example, there's a lot of talent on that team, and they flat out just got out coached at the end of the day. Same thing with the Rams, a lot of talent, got out coached. You can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not saying Super Bowl necessarily, but they're definitely going to be a nice playoff team for sure.
I agree. They'll be a playoff team. I mean, I completely understand what you're saying too, Andreas. But I don't know. I just think they have momentum right now. I think they have the talent that it takes.
They have confidence, bro.
Yeah, they got confidence. That's the main thing. They got confidence. And I think between them and the Ravens, because the Ravens are making moves as well.
I do want to bring up one final point on the Cleveland Browns, then I'm ready to move on if you guys are. So what do you guys think? So first of all, obviously Freddie Kitchens, he seems like he's done pretty well so far in the ending part of last season. You know, they won 5 of 7. But what do you think about Baker Mayfield being an elite winning quarterback? What do you guys think of that? Because that's going to be a huge factor in this team's success. I don't care how many moving pieces you put around him, how much talent. Is Baker Mayfield an elite winning quarterback? Is he going to be able to go into a wild card game or go into a first round of a playoff and play a Chiefs team and beat them?
Yeah.
Or go into the Pats or somewhere and win in that first round? Or even to the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers are probably going to be pretty good next year regardless. Is he going to be able to go into somewhere and win? Is he that at that level yet? Or I honestly think he still has a lot to prove despite having a great rookie season.
I think he has the capabilities of it. I think he has the talent, and Derek jumped on this just a few minutes ago. I think he has the confidence to go. And you got to remember, he's a Heisman winner. He's the first overall pick, and I mean, I don't think anything's really stopping this guy.
We'll see.
He's been doing it for a long time. I mean, from getting traded from Texas Tech and going to Oklahoma, he was never thought to be the guy or the better QB, but he's had to prove himself in every step of the way of his career, and I think he'll just continue to do that. Like, he's just going to keep pushing himself, and he's just – I think he's going to be a really, really good quarterback in the league for years to come.
What do you think about his media involvement so far and – given, say, let's say he does, let's say they go on a run next year and they start out and maybe they only lose 2 of the first 10 games or something, and they're looking pretty spectacular. You know, every week that they win, they're going to get more and more popular. The media is going to be riding them more and more and more. And given that he was already kind of involved with the media last year, more so than most rookie quarterbacks were, how do you see that playing out? Because he's going to be – his platform is just going to get bigger and bigger. His stage is going to get bigger and bigger if they do experience the success that they're projected to experience. I wonder how he's going to handle that. What do you guys think?
I just think he's going to be fine. Like, I mean, he's already been at one of the biggest colleges in college sports, Oklahoma. He's handled that adversity there. He's went through the whole cop ordeal or rest ordeal, whatever you want to call it, when he was a senior there at Oklahoma, and he's already faced a lot of adversity in his life. He's what, 20, 22, 23. I mean, I think he might be 24 actually. I think he's 23, 24, but he's a grown man. I think he's going to be fine. Like, yeah, he might have some nervous breakdowns, or he might be a little too cocky with the media if they're doing well, but hey, there's confidence in cocky, and you can't beat that in the NFL, because if you're not confident at all, you're going to be left behind.
That's a good point. I think next year he has a lot to prove, and
for sure.
Anyways,
we'll get into that later, but I mean, I think they'll be a for sure playoff team, or at least fighting for a playoff spot.
Right. I agree with that. All right, so we'll go ahead and – I know that's a big news. I could say on that topic and talk about it all day, but
okay. Let's see. Antonio Brown and the Raiders. I'm telling you, the Raiders are – I'll call them. I'll call it right now. They're the whore of the NFL right now. They are getting there. They're into everybody right now. They don't give a shit. They're going after it. Antonio Brown, there was talks of Le'Veon Bell. I mean, there's probably talks of OBJ out there going to the Raiders if you really looked hard enough. But Antonio Brown with the Raiders, my take on that is – I think that he's going to get what he asked for, and he's going to be the only good receiver out there. Name one other good receiver on the Raiders. I can't think of any. So he's basically the center of attention, and hope and pray to God that Derek Carr can deliver the ball to him.
Yeah, I think – I mean, the Raiders obviously improved with that move. I think he's going to see a big target share upwards of – almost 30%, if not more. I mean, they just really don't have anybody else, like you said. Unless they draft somebody, which I expect them to draft a wide receiver in the first round somewhere there. But I mean, they have some picks. They have a little wiggle room to trade up. I mean, I've heard talks about them maybe going after Kyler Murray as well, trading up to one and getting him. But you never know. I mean, I think AB going there. I mean, it hurts him a tiny bit just because, obviously, Derek Carr's not Ben Roethlisberger, but I still think he's going to get a major target share, and he'll be just fine for fantasy purposes at least.
Yeah, I think he will be just fine for fantasy purposes as well. But as far as having a chance of making the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl, I mean, this team – we're talking about a team here that doesn't even have an established city. They're already projected to go to Las Vegas. And not only that, Las Vegas has never had an NFL team, so it's not really an NFL city. So I don't know. I think that can kind of play into the psyche of the team that, you know, they're not even really supposed to be there. Nobody really wants them there. It's like, what kind of fan is going to get behind an Oakland Raider that they know is going to be gone next year? I mean, maybe just really diehard Raider fans, but I think mostly they're rooting for that team because they're an Oakland team, and they're from the people from Oakland. But anyways, yeah.
No, I thought the move was okay. I didn't think it was the greatest move. AB is still gonna be somewhat fantasy relevant in my eyes. I mean, he could still probably be he'll probably still be a 1,000-yard receiver. But Oakland hasn't had a 1,200-yard receiver since 2002 and Jerry Rice.
Holy shit.
So I don't know if that – I don't know. I mean, and a lot of people say that they haven't had talent in the past couple of years. I mean, but Amari Cooper's talent. I mean, yeah. As much as I think he's inconsistent, Amari Cooper was a top receiver and Derek Carr did nothing with him. Exactly. I mean, they had one good year, I believe. I mean, last year, just a little stat, I mean, his passer rating with Cooper was 87.4. And then once Cooper left, it was 105.7. And you might say, oh, then Cooper's a bad receiver. But look at that Dak Prescott stats. Without Cooper, he was 3-4, 62 completion percentage, 200 yards a game, 8 TDs to 4 interceptions. He got Cooper. He went 5-1, 74 completion, 285 a game, and then 9 TDs and 3 interceptions. So he took advantage of that talent, and that's the one thing I want to look for in Derek Carr is if he can take advantage of having a talent like AB out wide.
Right, and you got to remember, just a couple of years ago, he was in the MVP talks. So
that's very true. I mean,
you obviously know he's got that gene in him, and he can be a great player. He's just got to have more weapons around him. I think he's got one with AB there. So,
I also think Carr will be on a short leash.
Oh yeah, for
like
sure,
a really short leash.
If they draft a quarterback, it's going to be really hairy there.
You know, I've also wondered that, too, about Carr's success last year. I know he had a really, really bad year last year. But I almost wonder how much having a new head coach, putting in a new offensive scheme, this so much new things coming in, the whole thing about them moving to Vegas, not really having a solid running back. Amari Cooper is great, but I don't think that he's on that level of an elite receiver like Julio Jones or Odell Beckham Jr. or Hopkins. I think that he's a good receiver, but I don't think that he's necessarily a game-changing, season-changing receiver like it would be to have an OBJ on your team.
Right.
I think that, for example, if Derek Carr was going to be successful, he would kind of need one of those big top three wide receivers there to help, because he's not the kind of quarterback like Tom Brady, for example, that can take just about anybody and make them good, or even a Drew Brees. I don't think that Derek Carr is that guy.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, just when you didn't think the Giants could do anything else stupid, they are going to pay Eli Manning's $5 million roster bonus on Friday.
We got breaking news. We got breaking news on the podcast.
They are going to pay $5 million.
Wait, say that part again.
They're going to pay Eli Manning's $5 million roster bonus Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
Just to make sure he stays there, make sure he's not going anywhere.
That brain.
Dude, that guy needs to be in a retirement home somewhere.
He really does.
That franchise is, yeah.
That's I'm a nervous for Saquon.
You know?
I wouldn't be nervous for Saquon. That's kind of the – I don't want to jump topics here, but that, I kind of look at Saquon how I look at Le'Veon Bell being on the Jets. Obviously a dysfunctional team, both of them. I think the Jets are a little more functional, but – in my opinion, if Saquon Barkley can go to the New York Jets and be successful, then I don't see why Bell wouldn't be able to go to the Giants and be successful. I don't see why Bell wouldn't be able to go to the Jets and be successful.
Right. I mean, I'm not so concerned about him fantasy-wise, but just personal-wise, I feel like he just lost. You know what I mean? Just he had to have a connection with OBJ, and now it's just like, who's he got left there? Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. I mean, it's not like he's best friends with Eli Manning, so yeah. He's just – I feel like that's just going to take a little bit out of him. But, I mean, I feel like he'll still be okay fantasy-wise. He's going to get a bunch of targets, and he'll be okay.
Yeah. All right, next person on
next person
on cue here is L. Murray.
Latavius Murray, the guy who wanted – the lead back work. That's why he left the Minnesota Vikings. He said, I can be a lead back somewhere. And then he goes and signs with the Saints where Alvin Kamara is already there.
I don't understand that one single bit. Is that really why he decided to leave?
Yeah.
Because he said he wanted to be an elite back. Did he think that he had a better chance of beating out Kamara than he had a chance of beating out Dalvin Cook?
I mean, I just think he looked at Kamara and just thought, well, I can beat Mark Ingram, so I think that's why it played a little role in it.
I think this whole move is ugly, in my opinion, on Murray's part and the Saints' part. If I was the Saints, I wouldn't have let go of Ingram. I mean, you got one of the best 1-2 punches in the backfield in the league, and you go give a multi-year deal to Latavius Murray.
I don't understand that either. I've always been an Ingram fan, but what's crazy is the Eagles didn't pay him much. Not the Eagles. Did he go to the Eagles?
The Ravens.
Ravens. That's right. It was somewhere up there. They didn't pay him much. They only paid him.
Three years,
I just remember
seeing
a report that said that. What's
three
that?
Years, $15 million.
Yeah.
And what?
It's not that much.
Yeah. And what did Murray get?
I think. I know it's 4 years.
4 years. Yeah.
I don't know how much money, though.
But still, I mean, that has to do a little – that has to put a question in the minds of, I mean, Kamara, Michael Thomas, Treadwell, I think is his name. But it has to put question marks in their mind. Like, Ingram, I mean, they were a tight-knit team.
Yeah.
I mean, they were one of the tightest teams. And look, from just – watching the games, one of the tight-knit teams in the league, but I don't know. It may work out, but I'm not a big fan of this move whatsoever.
Right. I mean, I obviously think it's a downgrade from Ingram to Murray, but maybe they'll just give Kamara a little bit more of the reins there and let him do his thing. And Murray's just kind of a lesser Mark Ingram there. He's kind of a half of what Mark Ingram could be or was for them. But I mean, Mark Ingram didn't want to stay either. He thought he could be the lead back somewhere too. So
yeah, that's true.
He got his wish. So
yeah. Kamara. I mean, Kamara's value did go up significantly.
Yep, so. For sure.
So I wonder who's going to be the ace back in Baltimore now. Is do they have plans of incorporating Ingram as a second string to Gus Edwards, or do you think that they're going to make Ingram the ace back? Because I mean, that's actually a huge question, because if you look at it, Gus Edwards did do really good, but isn't he an undrafted? He didn't even make it to the combine, right? He was what do you call that?
I don't know. If he, I think he was just a late round draft pick, if anything. I'm not even sure if he was drafted.
No, I think he was undrafted, came off the practice squad.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that his talent is not there, but if you compare him to a guy like Mark Ingram, who are you going to start? You
know? I think if they paid Mark Ingram that much, 3 years, $15 million, he's got to be a starter.
I think it's Mark Ingram's job to lose. I mean, you look at Gus Edwards. He had a good year when he did play. He played in 11 games, 718 yards. I mean, 5.2 a carry. I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah, but he only had two touchdowns, and he only had two receptions for 20 yards in those 11 games. So I mean,
that's not good if you can't catch the ball.
And that is one of Mark Ingram's strength is he does have that capability of being a pass catcher. I mean, that was more of Kamara's job, but Ingram was also in that game as well.
Oh, for sure, he could do it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do with that situation. We'll see.
I think if anything, I feel like it's going to be more of a split. They might do like a 70-30 or 60-40 split between Ingram and Edwards, just because they're going to be running the ball so damn much that it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, that's all they're going to do. All the defense.
That's why I wanted Le'Veon Bell to go there.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson, he has to improve on his throwing ability, even just the slightest bit, or the defense won't even have to prepare for anything else but a read option. But we kind of knocked Ingram out there too a little bit, so we can do.
Yeah, we can move on to Funches, and we'll skip Ingram at the bottom. So we already went over.
Right. So Devin Funches, we wound up with the Colts. I'm not sure what the contract details were. I didn't get that, but I think that's a good fresh start for him. I think he was kind of like. He kind of got to the point where it was like Kelvin Benjamin in Carolina, where everybody was just like, get him out of here. We don't want him. I mean, that's kind of really what happened to Benjamin as well. And he still hasn't worked out with another team, but Funches definitely deserves that shot. I mean, I think he's still a decent receiver. He's a big guy. He can go up and get it. He's like 6'4", I think, 6'5". He can go up and get the ball. And Andrew Luck likes those red zone target guys that are big and that can catch those touchdowns. So I think that is a slight uptick in production for Funches, whether you like it or not.
No, I agree. I think it's an okay move. I still think they'll end up drafting a receiver in the draft, because I mean, they don't have really anybody right now besides Ebron, beside T.Y. But that contract, I mean, it was just a 1 year contract for $13 million, I think. So it's honestly,
prove it.
Right. Yeah. It's a prove it year for Funches. So he could either end up as a great wide receiver too, or they could hit gold in the draft and pick up one of these young wide receivers, and he could fall to a wide receiver 3 or a wide receiver 4. I mean, it's really hard to predict that, because he had a chance to be a number one in Carolina and he didn't really step up. I think the talent is there, like you said. I mean, he's a big red zone threat, but I'm honestly not a fan, but I do see upside in his game.
Yeah, I agree with that, Willie. I think the same thing. I see upside in his game, possibly, but he could have been the star at Carolina and just couldn't get it done. I don't know. I don't think that it's a lack of talent. Maybe it was just a change in an offensive scheme to maybe get him more looks will help. But it's based on the film that I've seen on him and watching the games last year, I don't foresee it being a huge increase if he does go to the Titans and and he does do better. I don't think it's going to be anything significant.
Right. I don't know if that speaks more to them just trying to get that receiver in there so they don't have to take one as early in the draft. Maybe they wait till the second or third round to get their receiver now, or if they just want to have hit punches there for insurance in case they take one in the first or even second and he doesn't pan out.
I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Who's the next guy?
Earl Thomas up next.
Earl. Where did he
defensive guy. He signed with the Ravens.
That's right.
Ravens are making the moves.
Dog, Earl Thomas.
Ravens are
the relentless guy who flips off the sideline as he breaks his arm or whatever he did, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he break his arm and he flipped off the sideline?
Yeah, because they wouldn't pay him any money, and then he got hurt. And he was like, screw you guys. Like,
what a dog. Why is it that the Ravens are always dominant on defense? They always – I mean, for years now, that fascinates me how teams do that. That they'll just be really dominant no matter what on one side of the ball every year for a long time. It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it's just the owner of the football team that just loves defense. But the Ravens are looking to be pretty dominant again next year on defense, especially given Earl Thomas.
Yeah, that Earl Thomas signing, that was a big one. I mean, I read a report last night where he was favoring the Browns. I don't know how solid that report was, but, I mean, the Ravens got one over on the Browns. I mean, like I said earlier in the podcast, I think it's going to be them two battling for that division. And, I mean, it's going to be a nice little rivalry for years to come. I mean, you got two young quarterbacks, a lot of talent around those quarterbacks, and then also on the defensive side, you got great talent and then also young talent. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a show between those two teams here for years to come.
Yeah, it's going to be cool seeing all the young guys coming up. We're kind of seeing a change right now. I mean, I know every year is a change, but there is a lot of change right now in that there's some veteran quarterbacks that are kind of on the back end of their career, and there's some young guys that are coming up taking the starting role. I mean, there's a lot of young quarterbacks right now, to include Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield and others, and that, you know, that have a lot to prove, and I can't wait to see what they do.
It's exciting. One more thing about Earl Thomas, I feel like they need to keep, especially now, they need to keep that defense intact. I know they lost C.J. Mosley, who's probably one of the best linebackers in the league, but they just couldn't pay him as much as he was wanting, as much as I forget, where did he go to? The Jets, maybe?
The Jets, yeah. Hold on. Yeah, but
they paid him a shit ton of money. He's like $15 million a year, I think. But I still think they just want to keep that defense going, because you know what is going to help them out a lot when they're running the ball 60, 70 times a game is they're going to need defense, because you can't be running the ball like that without any defense. You're going to have to pass. So they need that defense to step up and keep them in game so they can keep running.
Yeah.
Quick note that C.J. Mosley expected to sign 5-year, $85 million with the Jets. So that boy is getting paid.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they could not just pay him. He was wanting – I don't even know if that's what he was wanting, but that's what the Jets offered him.
Yeah.
So, dude, the Jets the Jets have a top five pick too in the draft.
Yeah.
They might be solid next year. They got that Roby guy. What is his name? Roby Anderson?
Robbie.
Yeah.
Dude,
they got that guy. And
they just signed Crowder.
Yeah.
They might be solid. And not to mention old Darnold or Sam Darnold. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He showed some flashes of some real potential last year. Very so good. I think that you put him, Anderson, Bell. I mean, there's a pretty good.
And that tight end, pretty good combination. Came on too a little bit there. So I mean, that's going to be
really exciting. And then that Elijah offense. Guy.
Yep, Elijah McGuire. He's going to be. They're going to be an exciting offense. I'll get into our next free agent that's on there, Le'Veon Bell.
The dog, Le'Veon, my baby, the one that I've held so close to me through thick and thin, through all the briars and the brush. You know, I've held him so close. I've known that he's so talented. I keep watching film every day. I wake up and I get discouraged, and I think, man, he might. And this has been going on since October. I think, man, he might not. He might not even sign with anybody. He might never play another down of football. And then I just look back on the film, and the film says it all, boys. That guy is an absolute animal. He's an animal. He was one of the best running backs in all of football for a long, like 5 years. He's been in the NFL for 5 seasons, and all 5 seasons he was dominant. And I think you guys are crazy for thinking that anything else is going to happen when he goes to the Jets. And I want to mention one thing. He has shaped the way. Think about it. He has shaped the way that running backs operate nowadays. Before Le'Veon Bell, you could get by successfully as only a running back, meaning that you don't catch the ball that much. But when everybody saw Le'Veon Bell come out there and start catching balls and shit, all the other head coaches out there and owners of teams are like, wow, this guy's amazing. He could catch the ball and run the ball. And then offenses slowly but surely started changing. And I am a firm believer that it all started with Le'Veon Bell. He wrote the book on the passing running back. And not to mention, you are also seeing some other running backs out there that are being more patient whenever they're running through the tackles. Also, a very strong Le'Veon Bell trait. I don't want to talk on him too much because obviously – I look at him as like a young child of my own, but I could go on it for days. I've held him so close, yeah. Because, and I've had so many good offers, but my team's been desperate. The Goodfellas have been desperate for some change, but I refuse to let that change be giving up Le'Veon Bell for something that is not up to par as far as his worth. So I'll end on that note for now. I'll let you guys go ahead and talk on Le'Veon Bell. But just know that I think he's going to – obviously, I think he's going to do really successful with the Jets.
I'll keep it quick and short. I'll go ahead and fact-check you real quick. He hasn't been dominant all 5 years.
There was maybe one season where he had under 1,000 yards, maybe two.
2013, 860. 2015, he only played 6 games, but he had 556.
I know that. I was about ready to say it. I'm glad that you remember that, because if you were going to say that he only had under 1,000 yards, I was also going to say, well, he also got in trouble, and then he had an injury 1 year. But the years that he has been on the field, he has done really well. His yards per carry average is huge. Yeah. Obviously, it's above 4 yards, so that is something to consider.
But that's the thing. Is he going to be on the field for all 16 games? I mean, is he going to be on the field for 14 games? I mean, you got to think, taking off a year of football, you're not just taking off a year in high school or college football. I mean, it is the National Football League.
That's an ACL waiting to happen.
Yeah, will he be able to jump back in and just take off where he left? I don't know. I honestly think, I said earlier last year, I still think he could be a top five back in the NFL, and I think he could be a top five fantasy back. But this year, I don't think he will be. I got him top 15 max, most likely in the top 10, but I don't think he breaks that top five fantasy running back. You just got too many. You got too many young, great running backs in the league right now. You got Zeke, McCaffrey, a lot of questions around Gurley, Barkley. I mean, there's just too much talent in the backfield. He'll be fantasy relevant. He'll help you get wins, but I just don't think he'll be that dominant back. I may be wrong. I hope I am wrong for the Goodfellas, but
just the Goodfellas, baby.
Just my thought.
Honestly, I appreciate your thought. Go ahead, Derek.
I just want to say a couple things. Him and his agent are stupid. I'm sorry, but they are.
They are dumb as fuck. I can't deny that. They are.
I don't know how you can miss the market by that. I mean, they're like, we'll just wait out a season. The market will be great for running backs. And then that season they set out, it's proven that you don't need a top running back to get your team to where they need to be. Like, Kansas City got rid of Hunt, and they did just fine without him. I mean, other teams just proved that you can use two backs. You can get by with it. So they really missed the market on that one. But, I mean, I won't hold it against him.
And James Conner didn't help his situation.
No, either. He didn't. And I think Bell would be a top eight back for sure, and possibly a top five just strictly off of volume, because I know everybody might be worried about Adam Gase and how he handled Kenyon Drake and all that there at the Dolphins. But, I mean, Kenyon Drake was still, what, like the number 13 or 15 running back on the season for PPR?
Yeah, RB 14.
So, that's not going to be a problem, and he screwed him over a bunch of times last season. So, I think Bell will be fine just strictly off volume. The only thing that worries me about the Jets is their offensive line was absolutely horrible last year. They were almost dead last in the league, I believe, in efficiency and all that. So, and Bell's proven that he's a patient runner and he likes to let his holes develop. And I'm just worried about that aspect of his running game. If he can move on to just kind of being quicker and not having to wait, like the Steelers line allowed him to do.
And that's a valid concern as far as the Jets offensive line. That is one concern that I've had as an owner of Le'Veon Bell. I don't really know how much of the offensive line success or not success has been based on the talent coming out of the backfield. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways that you can measure how good an offensive line is basically what I'm trying to say. So I don't know. Maybe next year they come out and they make a few changes. They got some draft picks.
I think they
might be better next year. But one thing that I do want to comment on, and I noticed that none of you guys had mentioned, was the fact that Le'Veon Bell very well might have changed the way that the NFL looks at running backs. Really think about that, because none of y'all mentioned that. And that's one thing that is something that I want to hear you guys talk about, is since he emerged, the need for being a pass-catching running back has – the value in that has went up tremendously. And I can't think of a single running back before that really needed – like that really needed that part of the aspect in their game. If you look back on the years before, if you were an NFL running back, as long as you can run the ball through the tackles and break tackles and be talented in that aspect, who cares if you caught the ball? That was just an addition to what you could do. But nowadays, if you can't catch the ball out of the backfield, you're not going to play all three downs. You're going to get swapped in and out, just like Gus Edwards is likely going to be swapped in and out, just like many other running backs are likely swapped in and out. So, What do you guys think of that? And do you believe that maybe Le'Veon Bell did start that trend? Or let me hear your thoughts.
I don't know if he started the trend, because you got to think about Marshall Faulk as well. Back in the day, he was the greatest show on turf. In 1999, he had 1,000 yards receiving and also 1,300 yards rushing. Had it.
Okay, there are exceptions. There are anomalies, but
I do believe he's made it, especially in like today's day where social media is big. I mean, you can put your workout videos on there. I mean, highlight tapes get thrown around in a second. I mean, I really think he has made it more of a pass catching back. I don't know. I mean, but although he might have changed that and made a change to how we look at running backs, that doesn't help his fantasy relevance. I mean,
I know it doesn't help his fantasy relevance, but I just wanted to highlight that aspect of his game to show how good he really is.
Right.
And maybe that doesn't depending on how you look at it, that does help his fantasy relevance. But I think that goes to show just how good he is ultimately.
No, I think he's great. And I hope he does have a top 5 year.
Well, thanks, Willie. I know your brother hopes that he doesn't have a top 5 year. Right. And I'm just gonna go ahead and go out on a limb here and call out Thomas. Old Thomas. I'm getting just about sick of that guy. I'm so sick of him. I don't mean to get off topic here, but he just drives me up the wall. And I just hope and pray. I'm gonna be really short with this little tangent here. I hope and pray that no owners out there in our fantasy league is going to trade with Thomas, because he throws out the most garbage trades ever. I'm going to sabotage his team in every way possible ever.
I don't know. I
can't stand it. I don't want anybody to make a trade with him unless you get Le'Veon Bell. That's my team. Unless you get OBJ, Gurley, or Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. Other than that, do not make a trade with him.
All right.
At least none of your franchise players. I'm sorry, but I just had to say that.
Well, you're talking with the right guys out here on that social one, media. Then. You're talking with the right two owners on that one, then, because we got some chicken in the oven. Let's just
there's some rumors flying around the FFL. We'll just say that on Dredd.
Let's just talk about what it is. Let's spice this podcast up. You know, we don't have to stay on par with the schedule. We could go off on whatever the hell we want. It's our podcast. We run this shit. So, what's the rumor around the FFL league? Because let me tell you, I spent a lot of time with this stuff, and if there's a rumor going around, I want to know about it. So let's spill the beans here.
I mean, I'm not gonna spill what. The goat
farm. We didn't get any details or anything.
No details. Just a report in the air that OBJ is currently on the market. Yeah,
he's very strongly considered to be shopped.
Listen. Wyatt won't even offer me trades hardly anymore because I call him out every single time. I say, get out of my face. I say things like, you are an idiot. I say things like, don't talk to me ever again, ever. These are the kind of conversations that me and Thomas have. Why? Because he thinks that he's the superior being in this FFL league. And I talk a lot of shit on the group chat that I'm the superior being and everything. And I truly think that I'm a good owner, but what I want to say here is, Wyatt is not the superior owner in this league. He got lucky screwing over Ricky is what it all boils down to. And it's been basically a domino effect from that. And I'm telling you, in the next 5 years, this team will decline because I am doing everything I can to sabotage him. I hope that you guys are doing everything you can to sabotage him. I don't want Thomas to ever win another championship again. I'm done.
We'll work on that, buddy. We know you don't have a chance. But
we're trying, man. You ain't holding it down. We're trying.
How am I not holding it down? How am I not holding it down?
Oh, you're on the up and come. You're coming up. I see you making moves.
I am
there.
One of the tops. I am one of the tops.
You're not one of the tops. If we're going to get into this discussion, I have you.
I say we do.
I have your team currently power ranked in the FFL at number 6, and you moved up. You moved up. I'm not considering my team. I got get 1 through 9. I got 1 through 9, and you're at number 6 right now, and you moved up. Due to that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt trade you did. I thought that was a great move on your part.
You guys are really driving me nuts.
I honestly have you at 6 or 7. I didn't update it after that Chubb trade. You were at 9 on mine. If I didn't include myself, you were dead last before that trade. So.
Derek, I think that you're one of the last on mine, so I don't want to hear your shit. I think that William has the best team right now. I really think that William has the best team.
Yeah, I think that Ruckus are 1 and 2.
I appreciate
between
that.
Me, William, and Ruckus, I think you've got the best teams.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I really do. And I think that you look at my lineup. You look at my lineup, and they are all dogs nowadays. Yeah. I have the top 3 quarterback in Roethlisberger, a top 10 running back in Bell, a top 10 running back in Chubb, a top 3 running back or a wide receiver in Hopkins. I got 2 first round draft picks next year, 3 in the first 13. Not to mention all the rest of the guys on my bench. Not to mention Damian Williams, man. I got so much shit to do. And you guys, Derek, I promise you, you of all people, Derek, will not finish in front of me. The only people that will have a chance right now is Mean Machine, the Goat Farm, and Rotisserie Ruckus.
All right, I'll let you just think what you want, but you really just said Roethlisberger is the top 3 quarterback, even though he just lost his best receiver, dude.
You're definitely on the come up, though. I
like your team. You're young. You are improving. I really do like your team.
And I got 2 top 10. I got 3 top 13 draft picks. 2 in the top 8.
I don't want to hear it. I want to see what you do with them.
I want to see what you do with those picks. I don't care. About
I tell you right
picks.
Now.
I don't care about where the picks are. I want to see who's in your lineup.
You picks are made.
I'm telling you guys right now, don't worry about who I draft. You're talking to a dog here. I will draft somebody that's going to be good. I watch film every night before I go to bed. I put my cell phone underneath my pillow playing. Each individual night, I play a full game. And I put that game underneath my pillow and I listen to it every night.
Or do you watch?
I listen to it, Derek. I listen to the commentary.
Might as well listen to just podcasts, man. Fantasy podcasts. Why are you listening to game film?
I do. I listen to game film and I listen to podcasts. All right, we're getting off subject.
I'll tell you what you like. Like. All right, we'll get back on topic. You guys want to finish off these 5? These 5 sleepers.
Yeah,
just kind of do a quick rundown. All right, do y'all want to do rotate, like go from 5 to 1, and just each do our 5, each do our 4, each like that?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, I'll just go ahead and go first with my 5, and I think I'm just putting him in at 5 because I think Jameson Crowder might be a sleeper this year. I know he's been a train wreck with injuries and bad quarterbacks while he's been in Washington. 2016 and 17, he did average 67 catches and 800 yards, and that was with some injuries as well. Those were his 2 best seasons of his career. He'll be 26, and he's edging into his prime age, which is usually about 26 to 30 for receivers. I expect when he signed with New York that Darnold's going to help him out a lot there with having a stable quarterback. And if he can just get over his injuries, he'll be a nice slot guy for them, I think. And we know how Darnold loves his slot guy. We've already seen that with the Noon one. So I think he can be a really good sleeper this year.
Is that your number 1 guy?
That's number 5.
Yeah, go from 5.
On number 5, yeah. Number 5. All right, so you go ahead, Willie.
Well, I'm switching this up. I did have it in different order, but right now I'm going number 5, Sterling Shepard. He has the possibility. I mean, he's the number 1 receiver in New York. Big question mark around the quarterback situation. Do they bring Haskins in the draft or another quarterback for that matter? But honestly, I think he could have a big year. His fantasy value went way up because all they have right now is Barkley, Ingram, and Shepard. I mean, besides that, that's pretty much their offensive talent. So right now, I think that Shepard could have a big year in fantasy.
All right, I think so as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andre.
You guys there?
Yep. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry, somebody was calling me. All right, so my number one is going to be Geronimo Allison. Oh. I think that the Green Bay Packers are in need of.
Hey, Andre.
We're going from 5 to 1. Basically.
That's what I said, number five. That he seriously is number five. They for real.
I got you. You said number one, but I got you.
Yeah, he's my number one. Or number five, sorry. He's my number five. I think that he has tremendous talent. He's a big, long, lanky guy that can stretch the field. He's fast, athletic. He's got good hands. He started out the season last year on fire. He scored, well, as far as fantasy points, he had 17.9, 12.4, 15.6, and then 14. And then he got hurt. When he came back, he just really wasn't the same. I don't know if that injury that he had was lingering or what, but he definitely has some talent. And given that he has a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers that can develop a guy, that he's a veteran quarterback and can ultimately just make a receiver really, really, really good. I think that Geronimo Allison has huge upside next year.
Yeah, I'd really like to see how that receiving core shakes out. After losing Cobb and them having those rookies in there, I'd like to see who comes out on top.
Yeah.
Opposite of Adams there. I'll go ahead and get number four. Or my number four, it's Nyheim Hines from the Colts. He backed up Marlon Mack, and, I mean, he pretty much backed him up all season, but he was just a rookie. He reminds me of Tariq Cohen, basically. He only had 85 rushing attempts, but he's mainly just a scat back that receives the ball a lot. 5'9", 200. He received 81 targets and had 63 receptions, which is it's pretty impressive for a running back to do that. I think if he can move toward 160 to 180 touches next season, he'll be a consistent RB2 or low-end RB2 at least with some nice RB high upside with RB2 there. He did average just under 10 fantasy points per game, so I think he can take another jump with that.
No, I completely agree with you. And he was actually just right outside my top five. I mean, throughout the year last year, I just kept looking at him, looking to pick him up. He just didn't do enough.
Yeah.
To become fantasy relevant or roster worthy, I would say. But I mean, I really do think. I mean, Marlon Mack has the job right now, but anything can happen, and I really think he could have a sleeper year as well. My number four is David Njoku. Reason B. I mean, last year with everything that went on, switching quarterbacks. I mean, the Browns had a decent season, but switching quarterbacks. Switching to Nick Chubb halfway through a year, only having Landry. Now they have all this talent. They have Odell, Landry, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt when he comes back, and Baker. You're going to have Njoku there. I mean, he's going to get a lot of targets. I mean, just last year he had 56 receptions, 639 for 4 TDs. Those numbers will go up, and he could easily be a top 5 tight end next year in fantasy.
Even with OBJ there?
Even with OBJ, because I mean, you look at the Chiefs, they had the number one quarterback, the number one receiver, and the number one tight end in fantasy last year.
Right.
So, I mean, when you have a high-powered offense like that, I mean, he'll definitely be top 10. I think 100% he'll be a top 10 tight end in fantasy, but there is a possibility he could be a top 5 fantasy tight end next year.
And what? Who's that again? What's his name?
David Njoku.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Out of Cleveland.
Yep. Derek has him.
Yep.
Yep. I've been looking at that guy. I thought that's who you said, but you know, I've actually never heard his name pronounced. I pronounce it in my mind, and it doesn't sound like Njoku. But, anyways, yeah, I think he could be really good. So, my number two guy is going to be. Did any of y'all already say James Washington?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. So James Washington out of the Pittsburgh Steelers last year had 147 for 1,297 yards, 15 touchdowns. Some might call that, might not call that a sleeper status, but given that Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown was on that team, you know, he was more so on the wide receiver three spectrum. So next year, I think that he's going to be a really good complement to Smith-Schuster and Roethlisberger. I think next year he's going to have a spectacular year and do what he can. I don't think he'll be able to fill the shoes of Antonio Brown, but I think that he'll definitely step up in that wide receiver two spot. And who knows, he might even be, I won't say equal to Smith-Schuster, but he might be right there neck and neck with him.
Hey, hard facts, James Washington won the best receiver award coming out of college. So I'd agree with that too, Andres.
Is he on your list?
He is not, but he has had he was on my roster. I actually traded him. I traded him to the Leatherheads maybe a month or two ago.
Really? He's only 22 years old too, dude. He came out of Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Yeah, he might be solid next year for real.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on him yet. I'll have to see it before I make assumptions, but obviously that's why we call him sleepers. So I'd like to see him succeed in that offense, and hopefully they don't draft another high-end receiver to take over his spot before he can get to prove himself.
Yeah.
All right, number three for me is I'm going to go T.J. Yeldon here. I don't know why nobody's talking about this kid. I mean, he is an unrestricted free agent as far as I know. I mean, he didn't sign anywhere. Am I correct?
I don't believe that.
No, not yet.
I haven't heard anything on this guy. No one's talking about him. No one's even having the breath of his name in their mouth. Like, I don't get it. He's swept under the rug by Fournette. He's always been the backup there. But he's been productive. Over the past four seasons, he's averaged over 4 yards per carry in three of those four seasons. And he's also averaged 58 targets in 42 receptions. So I look at him as a major dual threat out of the backfield if the team can utilize him. And I think he could possibly be a bell cow if he goes somewhere. He's 6'1", 220. I think he could handle a sizable workload. But I don't think there's that many teams out there left that need a running back that would be a bell cow. But if he can go somewhere that a team will give him a chance to be a one, then I think he could really fulfill that role for somebody.
No, I completely agree. Yeldon, I actually tried to acquire Yeldon not too long ago. But I think if he goes to the right team, I think he could handle that workload. I think he could be a great back. But I mean, like you said, we haven't heard anything about this dude. I don't know if it's just where all this other stuff is happening, all these other big names, but yeah, I don't know. I don't even know the possibilities of a team he could go to.
Right.
I don't know.
That's about the only thing left.
He's still on his rookie contract there, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's been in the league for a few years, but
yeah, this is
isn't that crazy to think about though, for real? Because imagine how many other guys that are out there that are really talented and have a lot to offer to their team or to the NFL in general that are on their rookie contract, but they have a guy in front of them that is performing well, but if they given the chance, they might. If they were given that same chance, they might perform even better. So a guy like Yeldon very well could be that guy.
No, okay. I completely agree with that. But no, I think, Yeldon is a free agent this year.
Oh, is he?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I was concerned. No one's talking about him at all.
No. Huh. So we're at number three. My number three, I don't even know if you'd really call him a sleeper. I got Amari Cooper. I think after being with that Cowboys offense for a year. I think he could easily. I'm a big question mark. I've always had a question mark on Amari Cooper. I think he's inconsistent, but I just think that, I mean, with Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott's a great quarterback. They got a couple young receivers. Jason Witten just came back. He's not going to do much, but he's a great leader for the team. Amari Cooper could have a big year. I mean, he was wide receiver 19 last year, 75 receptions, 1,000 yards, 7 TDs. Those numbers could easily go up, and he could crack top 10 next year.
That's true. I agree with that. Plus, whenever he moved to the Cowboys, he saw some real success.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but he was also inconsistent in those last games. I mean, he had some major games, but he did have some 5-point, 8-point games for fantasy. So
that's the thing. I don't know how much of that is just that he moved to the Cowboys and that offense wasn't really built around him being a wide receiver one. It was more so built around giving Ezekiel Elliott the ball.
He did that in Oakland. I mean, he would have 30, 40-point games. I mean, and then, you'd have a 3-point game. You'd have a 5-point game. And then you'd have another 24-point game. I mean,
I wonder how much of that has to do with the offense, though, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on sort of behind closed doors, not necessarily behind closed doors, but his talent is obviously there. And I wonder how much of that has to do with the offensive scheme, play calling, so on and so forth, given that he's never really been the guy at whatever team that he's went to. I mean, arguably Oakland, but Oakland's always been kind of terrible anyways. But he's not the guy. He's not the star. That's not what the offense is built around. That's built around the success of Ezekiel Elliott. So I wonder if they maybe gave him more attention, maybe if they called plays in favor of him, maybe he would experience more success. But I don't know. That's
right. I mean, they might just take advantage of what the defense has. If they're a good pass defense, they might just run Zeke, and if they're not, they'll use Cooper more.
That's true.
Yeah,
it might be the way.
That's true. It also has a lot to do with the defense. I totally agree. The defense could come out there and say you're not going to beat us with Cooper. And then he has 3 points that game.
All right, Andreas, number three for you.
All right, so my number three, maybe you won't call him a sleeper, but I think he's worthy of being called the sleeper because he just moved teams. But Tevin Coleman, I think that him going to San Francisco, I think that was what announced today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's never been – I don't think he's ever been a top 10 back, right?
Nah.
I don't think he's ever been top 10. But he's always been playing kind of either behind Devontae Freeman or with Devontae Freeman, however you want to look at it. But I think that the guy's super talented. Just last year he had 4.8 yards a touch. The year before he had 4 yards a touch, exactly. And – I think that him going to the San Francisco San Francisco 49ers could really help him out. So I think that he very well could beat out Breida and who's the other guy out there? McKinnon. So many changes.
McKinnon.
Right.
Which
right.
Honestly, I'm not a fan of that signing. If there's any signing that I wasn't a fan of, it was that one.
Why is that?
I just don't understand why they needed him. They have Breida. They signed McKinnon to a big 4 years, $28 million. I mean, they paid that man. They're gonna give him the lion's share of the workload there, I believe. So unless they're just gonna use McKinnon as Freeman and Coleman like he has been with the Falcons, and I mean that's the only reason I can understand that. But I mean, and they already have guys there that can fill that role. I didn't understand that signing.
I agree with you 100%. But if Coleman is given the ace role, I think that he'll be really successful. So I should have said that before I started talking about him. If he's given the ace role, I think that he can perform really well. I think that when he was at the Falcons, he he did well, and I think that whenever he goes with the 49ers, he's going to do well. So,
my thing with Coleman real quick, he had a chance to be the number one guy in Atlanta last year, and he really did not take advantage of that. They were kind of trying to get Ito involved as well, but Coleman had his chances, and he didn't step up to the plate.
Right. So, I'll go my number two here. He's an owner of the good. He's a member of the Goodfellas. Name's Dante Pettis. I think this guy is really gonna take off. They might add another receiver in the draft or something, but I mean, Pettis is a big slot guy. If I'm not mistaken, he's 6'1", 6'2". I think he plays out of the slot, but he's coming off a season where he started off with an injury after the first couple games. He only played 12 games, 7 starts. He had 5 or more targets in the last 6 games of the season. He only caught 27 balls on 45 targets, but he averaged 17 yards per reception on those. And he also finished with 5 touchdowns. So I think he could be a really great receiver, Jimmy G, back at the helm. And, I mean, he did all that without Garoppolo throwing the ball. So if they don't have anybody with big draft capital or sign a name in free agency, I think he could really take off this season.
I think so as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Agree with that one. I mean, he is definitely a player to watch out for. As long as, like you said, I mean, they might pick up another receiver and that might help him even more, but he has a very good possibility of taking the wide receiver one role next year.
And we're out of the slot. You're not going to see that top cornerback every game.
Okay, so my number two, I got Chris Godwin, Buccaneers. You got to look at the Adam Humphries is gone, D-Jax is gone. So all they got there really is O.J. Howard and Mike Evans. Chris Godwin last year, 59 receptions, 842 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And that's with D-Jax, Mike Evans, Adam Humphries, O.J. Howard. So I believe this guy is going to take a major step. He's going to be a major flex play. And I think he's going to be one of the bigger sleepers this upcoming year.
I completely agree with that. He's actually my number one.
What's his name again? How do you say his name?
Chris Godwin.
That's right.
So, yeah, he's 23 years old. He averaged 14 yards a catch. Yeah, I mean, big numbers. And he played all 16 games, but he only started – I don't know how they come up with this. You start a game, you don't start a game. He technically only started 5 games when he played in all 16, and he still put up 842 yards and 7 touchdowns. So, I mean,
and his targets increased from 55 to 95 this past season from his rookie season. So, I mean, that's a big uptick, and that was with those two there. And then with them leaving, that's 179 targets left up for grabs.
Yep.
So that I think he could have high-end wide receiver 2 numbers and possibly even low-end wide receiver 1. If they move him into the slot, like they said, they might.
And of course, we know who has him on the roster.
Old Rickster.
Old Rickster.
Oh,
hey,
good old boy. All right, so my next guy is going to be I call him Roby Anderson, but I know his name's Robbie Anderson. So reason I think that he's going to do good is because I think that he's definitely talented. Last season, the last 4 games, he had 336 yards and 3 touchdowns. Obviously, Sam Darnold is looking for a guy to play his wide receiver 1 role, and I don't see anyone else out there on the Jets offensive roster that is going to take that role. So I don't have any other reason to believe that Anderson isn't going to have pretty big numbers next year, especially throwing in the fact that Le'Veon Bell is going to be there. You know, the defense is going to have to that's going to ultimately open up the offense, passing game. So that's why I think that old Anderson's he's going to do pretty well next year.
Well, since I took your number one, Derek, what are you going to get?
Honestly, I
might as well double down on it.
He's not a number. He's not a top guy. I don't even write anything on him, really. But I think Albert Wilson of the Dolphins, wide receiver there, has a chance to be a better receiver than he has been. He hadn't really got a fair share of getting his opportunity with Parker there and everything. And their quarterback situation's kind of been downhill there. So I think if they can get a stable quarterback who can get his guys the balls, then I think Albert Wilson will have a chance to be a nice sleeper, maybe some low-end wide receiver three production there.
No, I completely agree with him. He started out pretty well, not last year, but the year before, too. I think towards the end of the year, he started making a little bit of a fantasy impact. I mean, he got injured last year as well, but, I mean, there's nobody else there. You got a whole new coaching staff. I mean, you got Kenyon Drake there, Balazs at running back. The quarterback situation is up in the air, but those teams always seem to have a couple playmakers that are fantasy relevant.
Right.
So, my number one, Calvin Ridley. Last year, what'd he go? 64 receptions, 821 for 10 touchdowns. And I kind of compare his rookie year to Julio's. Julio had 79, 1,100 yards, actually around 1,200 yards and 10 TDs as well. That was his second year. His first year, he had 959 for 8 TDs. But when Julio came in the league, he had Roddy White. Roddy White in Julio's second year came up with 92 receptions, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns, and that's around Julio's numbers. Calvin Ridley showed a lot of promise last year, not only to be able to score touchdowns, but just to be able to get open at any point. He's a young receiver. He's quick. You got double coverage on Julio most of the time. So I think he takes a big jump in the fantasy world next year, possibly top 15, but definitely top 20.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that he's a great sleeper. Luckily, Shock the Nation has him, and I've already actually tried to target that guy, putting him on my team, and Shock the Nation definitely sees the value there, and he's not going to give him up cheap.
Yep, I think Ridley would be great there. Just need some time to develop a little bit more.
Yeah. All right, well, my number one here, Derek, you're going to be pleased to hear this, but I think that good old Hunter Henry is going to be quite the addition to the Los Angeles Chargers.
I just traded him.
You just traded him.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did trade him, you bastard. I did talk to you about that earlier. You traded him. That's right. We had a whole conversation about that. How did I forget? I talk so much shit on the FFL chat. Sometimes I forget what all I talk about. But anyways, I think he's going to be good. I don't know why you traded him, especially for a 20th overall pick to Ricky.
I wasn't so keeping him anyways,
the guy. The guy's 6'5", 250 pounds. Gates is going to have to go. The dude's literally like 100 years old.
He signed back 1 year.
I don't think he's going to be the guy next year. I hate to say it. He won't. But, huh?
He won't. I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be the guy, but I think that offense is yearning for a tight end role.
And I think that Hunter Henry is – he's a big guy. He has good hands. He's proven that he can play well in the NFL if he's given the chance, despite the injuries that he's had. So I think next year that Philip Rivers is a gunslinger. Anybody that's on the offensive side of the ball that has Philip Rivers on their team, they are very happy that they have that guy to play on the ball. I mean, look at Keenan Allen and even that Williams guy. Even though didn't he just get traded today, Williams?
Mike Will made it. No,
Tyrell Williams signed with the Raiders, I think, or he's
gone. Okay. Well, still, I think that Hunter Henry is going to be a good addition to the Chargers' offense, and I think that he's going to be the ultimate sleeper for my number one sleeper for next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I kind of regret trading him away, but I couldn't keep three tight ends. I think I'm pretty set with Njoku and O.J. Howard, so I just wanted to get a pick out of them at least if I wasn't going to draft them.
And I understand that totally. That's why I was so frustrated with you earlier, Derek. Now that we're on the podcast, I'll go ahead and go into that part. I was so frustrated with you earlier because I really wanted to get Henry, and he was kind of in my back pocket, and I think that he was. I had him in mind, and he was one of those guys that I was going to give up a trade for. Definitely that one, that 13th overall, I would have given up in a heartbeat. But I wanted to wait and see how the season played out. I know that the fantasy league right now is really active, but in the grand scheme of things, we have a long way to go to that first snap of the NFL season in 2019. We have a long way to go. Yeah. So a lot can happen.
We're in March,
right? He can get traded. Things can happen. So that's why I kind of wanted to wait to see, because right now there's just absolute madness going on around the league. I mean, for all I know, the Chargers could have traded for Julio Jones, and then, you know, Henry's value could have went down, or they could have traded for Kelce or someone, and I would have looked like an idiot getting Henry for a 13th overall. So that's why I wanted to hold on to him, and I'm genuinely aggravated with you for trading him for a 20th overall, and so yeah.
Hey, at least he didn't trade him to Wyatt for rotisserie.
All right. Yeah, well,
that is true. That is true.
But all right, boys, been a nice podcast here. I appreciate y'all's opinions and advice, and I'm glad to have you both on here. And I can't wait to do it again, maybe in a couple days or.
I can't wait for the next podcast as well. I really enjoyed doing this. I want to give a shout out to the Leatherheads. I told him that I would give him a shout out. So I want to give Tyler Roush. He's really improved his team. And I will say that he is one of the best owners in this league, despite his record. Yeah, his track record. Yeah, I think he makes really good moves. And he's a very, very – he analyzes every decision that he makes, whenever he trades, whenever he drops people, so on and so forth. He puts a lot of effort into the league. So I see big, big things for that guy, even though that him and I are never able to agree on a trade. And I think a lot of that is a big part of that is for the reason is because we're both so – we analyze everything so much that we just can't agree on anything. So anyways, shout out to the Leatherheads.
Heck, I don't know what you're talking about. I think he's pretty damn easy to agree with.
What trade did you make with him, Will?
Man, I've made like 15 trades with him.
All of them, like 90%.
That's my business partner.
That's your connection.
I know you guys have made some trades. What's the most recent? I know you trade Kelce.
I traded him Kelce for Julio, and there's picks involved as well.
I just can never agree with him. I really can't. Most of what he throws me is garbage. Most of what I throw him is garbage. But needless to say, I think he's a good owner. And I think that he analyzes everything really well, and he keeps the guys out there like ruckus. He keeps them from getting too good.
But yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. He's one of the better owners in the league.
I never worry about him, basically. I worry about guys like AC. I worry about Ricky. I worry about what's his name? What's his team's name? Huh?
Replacements.
The replacements. Yeah, he changed it, so I forget. I worry about him because they're just not active, and I know that they're not out there putting in the work that I put in, and that I know that you guys put in. I mean, this is a 24/7 job we got here, and I'm out there doing research all the time, and I know that you guys are too. So whenever I see the dominant teams in the league, especially the reigning champion and Rotisserie Ruckus, is out there trying to make trades with the, I'll call them the bottom feeders. I know that, you know, that gets me kind of worried, because I know that if they make a trade, that could affect the next two seasons. So, anyways, I don't worry about that with the Leatherheads. I know that if he makes a trade, I trust that it'll be an even trade, and that he's smart enough and he's done enough research to know that when's good to pull the trigger and when you shouldn't. So.
All right.
Good stuff. All
right, guys. Well, nice talking to you.
All right. Later, guys.
I'll see you next time.
Later, all right, NFL.
Later.